What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast for everything flag football and flag football officials. I'm your host, Zane, along with your other host, Ant.
Hey, hey.
I tell you, we're hosted by refs from all over the country. Today, Ant, before we get started with anything, I say we did want to have a little bit of clarification on a conversation that we had last episode. That if you want to go ahead and handle that one.
Yeah, for sure. So last episode, we were talking about debunking some player myths, player statements and stuff. And we mentioned the basically, you know, there's pockets, no hold. So we just want to clarify that. Of course, we did say that a hold is a hold is a hold. Doesn't matter if you're grabbing his socks or his dreadlocks, it's still a hold. But we do want to clarify that if you have pockets, it is very clear in the rules that pockets are illegal equipment. So if you start a play with pockets on, that will be an illegal equipment penalty as well. So a hold might happen, which gets a flag. Illegal equipment, because you have pockets, gets a flag, and it ends up being offsetting penalties, retrying. So just to clarify.
Oh, Ant's back.
Cool.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So basically, just to pick up on what Ant said, you have two live ball penalties which do offset each other. So just wanted to come on here and correct that for the time being. Another thing is that we got a DM on Instagram asking for a clarification on a rule. So I'll go ahead and pull that up and tell you the scenario. So what happened was it was first half, and there was 30 seconds left before halftime. Opposing team scores and calls a timeout before attempting the extra point. And the question was, does the clock start on the snap of the extra point or the snap of the next team's offense? I'll say the quick answer to that is the ball starts on the next team's possession. I say, and here in the rules, I'll go ahead and read it for y'all. It's defense gains possession of the ball on the following snap unless it is a PAT. So basically, clock does stop on a timeout for a PAT if a timeout is called, and the clock will not resume until the next offense's first snap.
Gotcha. And that's basically regardless of first half or second half.
Yeah, regardless first or second half.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm excited about our guest tonight. We're here live, you know, hoping viewers come on, listeners. But this is a very good friend of mine, a coworker in the official world. We first met at the Junior International Cup in Charlotte last year. And then we had the opportunity to work a whole weekend together in Orlando. And I tell you what, she was hustling up and down the sideline with me. We were going back and forth. I think I talked a couple weeks ago about how the speed of Florida flag football is so much more fast paced. It was me and her working that rec five, you know, non-contact, and it was just nonstop, hurry up offense. Nobody was scoring, but they sure were running up and down the field. And me and Tosh, after that game, where we were exhausted. So let me bring Tosh in and let her introduce herself a little bit. Welcome, Tosh.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Just go ahead and tell us about how you got into officiating and just a little bit of background about yourself.
All right. So about in 2010, that's kind of where I got into officiating. I actually was at FAU at the time in school, and I actually decided to become a student official on campus working at intramurals. And for anybody who has ever gotten their start in intramurals, you know you don't just officiate one sport. You start officiating everything. So I was officiating all kinds of sports. Obviously, I wasn't good at them all. But that was just part of the job back then, making like $8 or $9 an hour, you know, as a college student. So I started doing that. My first sport was basketball. And as you know, basketball is my one true love. So I do still officiate basketball as well to this day. I got into flag football heavily during my time with NERSA rules. I started traveling, going to different tournaments, and then eventually I was able to use that officiating background and knowledge to kind of get me an internship at the University of South Carolina, working in their intramural program. And then I actually used that experience as well to get a free master's degree. So for anybody who wants to get into officiating, that's the route to go to get free education. But no, so I went to Austin Peay State University for a master's, and I continued doing that. I stopped basketball for a while, so I was really just traveling heavily, doing NERSA tournaments as a clinician at that point. So I was helping them evaluate student officials, and kind of just never stopped from there, honestly. I've literally been officiating ever since. I do play now a lot. I've kind of started to slow down since I'm in school, but a lot of people don't know that I actually got my start with flag football as an official and not a player first.
Okay. I will see, which that's really not the normal for officials in flag football nowadays, because a lot of people will play for X amount of years. Like Lance, I'm pretty sure he started, what, back in the 60s or something like that?
Yep. No,
Lance is old. But I say he played for so many years, and then he's been officiating for, I believe it was 16, 17 now, right, Ant?
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah.
But you know, one of my questions for you is, did you have someone as like a mentor in the flag world, or did you have someone to like help you pave the way as an official?
For your first question, kind of yes. It's not anyone specific, but like I said, for anybody who's familiar with the intramural routes and how they run their tournaments, as a student, when I'm going to those tournaments, I get evaluated by multiple people who officiate at all different kind of levels of basketball or flag football. So that kind of shaped me during the time that I was in college. Once I left, I kind of put flag football on the back burner. I started playing more, but I stuck to basketball. And for those that want to know why, it's because I rather officiate indoors than outdoors, for obvious reasons. And then like for flag football, I wouldn't say anybody specifically paved the way, like as an adult when I graduated, in officiating and being able to do things like the Junior International Cup and like the USA Flag Weekend Warrior tournaments. But I will say that there have been a few key components in getting my foot in the door to those tournaments. People like Rob Keys, Ramal, shout out to him. People that are local that have kind of like helped me get my foot into the door. All politics aside, Jason has allowed me to officiate plenty of his tournaments, as well as Jacob. So nobody directly, but I've been able to kind of, you know, keep in contact with those people and just kind of keep my foot in the door officiating various tournaments throughout the year.
That's awesome. That's, you know, and I appreciate your humbleness. I mean, you said you kind of just are continuing to do basketball, but you're a college official in basketball, right? Like, let's be real here.
I am. I mean, it's taken a long time for me to get there, but I mean, I'm very patient in everything that I do in life, and also calculated movements because I'm back in school. So I would officiate flag football more if I could. Unfortunately, I'm not able to at this current time because things take precedence in life. But no, I do actually officiate college basketball. But we're going to talk about flag football here, so let's keep it there.
Okay. All right, cool. So we just want to get into the topic tonight. You know, we got you here. The last episode, we were talking a little bit about the women's game, and you know, there were some comments about the difference between officiating testosterone and estrogen and all of that being said. And I know we were making, you know, some jokes about how it's very different how players, you know, come at us as officials. What do you notice most in, like, for example, in the pro division between the men's and the women's game of flag football?
I'm going to be honest. Are we talking about strictly behavior towards us officials?
Yeah.
I will say that on the men's side of things, I do feel as if they, as from a female perspective, they cross the line a lot more in what they say and their words that they choose. Females don't necessarily, but they can become very condescending whenever they speak to officials as well. Not everybody does it. You will have a lot of outliers that like will be nice and like Lance said, if you ask nicely, that's how we're going to respect each other during the game. But there are, like on the men's side, that's what stands out to me most is the words that they choose to say. And then the women is just kind of, I guess, the attitude that they give when they say it.
Do you, I know Pat had brought up the fact that like in flag football, it's very different from higher levels of football and other sports that, that players have access to us. Do you think that that plays a big role in it?
I 100% agree with the comment that he made. And he brought up like different, you know, having different like rules within the sanctioned events. If I'm officiating a high school basketball game or a college basketball game, you can't just say whatever you want to me at any given time. I can give you a technical foul. You can get two technical fouls and you can be ejected from the game. You can sit down on the bench as a coach after one technical foul. Like you have so much more control over how the game is managed. Because you are also, you are warranted that authority on the basketball court. When it comes to things that aren't associated with like school directly, i.e. the USA flag, weekend warrior, that don't have the personnel to give you that much authority on the field, there's a lot more things that are said. But then people look at us when we throw flags for unsportsmanlike conducts or, you know, for any given reason, like bad behavior or whatever have you. They look at us like, why are you being soft? Mm-hmm. Why are you going to take it personal? Mm-hmm. But it's like, because people who had that experience outside of just doing those flag football tournaments, you don't have to put up with that if you don't want to. I can literally ask you to leave the gym if I wanted to, and somebody can come escort you off the property. With flag football, they have too, it's, there's not, they have too much, because what can you, at the end of the day, what can you really do? But I do wholeheartedly agree with them having a lot more access to us.
Yeah, and I think, I brought up a point just about talking about the point of the game of throwing it unsportsmanlike. And I think for me, that's how I protect myself. I'd rather throw an unsportsmanlike very early in the game and just kind of set the tone. Ultimately, the coin toss is our opportunity to kind of give a warning. Is there anything that you say in the coin toss where you're just like, hey, this is how I'm going to run things on my field? Take it or leave it, and then from there, that's how you go? Or how do you approach that coin toss?
It honestly depends on the type of personality that I'm dealing with. If I am R, I like to be like straight into the point, like, we're not having this. If you guys want to start acting a fool, we're going to start throwing flags to set the precedent, and then we're not going to be able to let you guys have fun. Because people, at the end of the day, whether you're a female or a male, they want to play how they want to play. They want to have that freedom to do so with their athletic abilities. And I do agree with that, but do it within the parameters of the game. If you want to start acting a fool, flags will be thrown, and that's just going to how the game is going to be. But I do like to try to set that precedent beforehand so that it prevents them from, oh, okay, here's a flag. Yeah, she did warn us about that earlier. Unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, do the captains in the coin toss go and relay that message to their players?
Nope. Nice. Zane, what do you see as the biggest difference between the men's and the women's game as far as in the pro division?
So one of the predominant differences is the speed. But I mean, you'll see that in every sport across the world that, you know, predominantly men are a little bit faster. They're a little bit stronger. But don't get me wrong, women are a lot smarter than us, a lot smarter. I say there was a team in Tampa this year, a women's team, and they just outsmarted the other team. It was 38-6, and the other team just got completely outsmarted. If it was on a fair playing field, I 110% believe that a women's team could outsmart a men's team. No questions asked. But other than a big difference in speed, it's really just like Tasha said, it's the difference in the attitude. I will ref a women's game all day, every day. I hate reffing men because I promise you I will get yelled at, I'll get cussed at 10 times more than I would in a women's game. Cause women always come with me as an official with respect. Men are like, you're running this. No, you're not. I am. Watch this.
No, I feel that. Tosh, as a player, do you come up with your own plays, with your own playbook, or do you have a coach that helps with that for your team?
So I used to actually play on a travel team where, like, there was legit plays already set. Because I've kind of taken a step back into playing, I kind of just do whatever feels good in the moment, if I'm being honest. I like to have fun. To me, like, I'm out, like, I'm not making money. Like the majority of people who play flag football, they're coming out of pocket. So I want to try to enjoy myself as much as possible with the girls that I have on my team. So I kind of just go with the flow.
Yeah. I think something I notice a big difference between the men's and the women's game is the strategy in the red zone. I think men just look at it like, and I'm speaking in non-contact, I think they just look at it as like, we just have to push our way, you know, through the defense and we're going to be open. Where women really approach it like, what's the best play to score a touchdown in this? And I think that they, like, women will run a really amazing play out of the bunch that the defense just can't stop. And I've just noticed that as a big difference.
Well, to Zane's point, of view, with the women being smarter, they'll still try to also push their way through, but in a smarter way to where, as an official, they know that you're in a certain area, you might not, they might do it in a place where you can't see it. And they know that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, so, like, we just had a comment on YouTube from TJ, and he was like, women definitely scheme a lot more where men try to rely on their talent alone.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but also there's some women that just ball, and they got,
just
I mean,
ball out.
You know what I mean? Like, just in Tampa, I don't want to, you know, single anybody out, but like there's some women like Neek or Maddie that just, I mean, their talent is, it shines. When the moment comes down to it, they make it happen. So there's talent on the women's game for sure, too, that where, you know, they just they know that they got to just throw it up in the back of the end zone and Neek's going to get it. Like, that's all it comes down to, you know?
What side for you guys has the most ego?
That's men, 1,000%. It's like every time I ref men, I'm not refing them, I'm refing their egos. It's like they think that I'm challenging them. But I'm like, bro, as soon as I'm on this field, I have no ego. I don't like anyone across the board. But a lot of men with egos, they take that personal. And I'm like, you know, you can do you. Yeah. Just know there's no hate here.
I also think there's an ego about knowing the rules. I think men are just convinced that they've watched enough NFL football that they know all the rules about flag football. And so, like, whereas there are women captains that will read every single part of the rule book, and they just have it dialed in. And if I'm not exactly on, they're gonna be in my ear. I've had plenty of women screaming in my ear just as much as men. So, like, let's not take it too easy on the women, you know. But
and I'm gonna be honest, when it comes to the men's game, I've had plenty of men mess up a simple coin toss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's very true. Yep. Yeah. The moment they say defense, it's over. So, Tosh, what format that, you know, are played in the national tournaments do you think women excel the most at?
Oof. I haven't seen too much of it. I mean, I've only, for the women's side, I've really only seen fives non-contact. But I feel like they would be successful. Not that they aren't successful in the fives non-contact, but I feel like fives aired out is a really good format. Especially because not all around the country, not everybody plays fives. A lot of people, mm-hmm. you have areas that are eight contact heavy that are in any format. Down south, we Florida used to be a sevens heavy state, but now it's shifted. But then you have all the NAIA collegiate girls who are still playing 7-on-7. But I think that fives aired out with having the four downs. It makes transitioning process a little bit better for those who are trying to become more successful in the fives non-contact format.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think, Shane?
Honestly, like thinking about it hard, with a lot of out west, like in California and a lot of like Midwest, it is primarily contact, like eight contact, seven contact, nine contacts. I think a lot of women excel at contact, because I've seen a lot of contact teams play non-contact and contact, and a lot of them excel better in contact than they do in non-contact. I'm gonna pick on the team right fast, just lovingly. Lady Venom, I say they are one of my favorite teams to watch, but in non-contact, I'll say, yeah, TJ was like Supreme, Lace Up, Mixed Breeze. I say all of them who are primarily a contact team who also play non-contact. They excel a lot better at contact than they do at non-contact. Not because they don't know or understand the rules. It's just because of that in that they're so used to bodying up somebody that a lot of times they forget what format they're playing. And they just have that one incident of contact, and throw your flag, you throw the flag, and they're like, "What's the flag for?" And I'm like, "There's non-contact." And they're like, "Oh, my bad."
You know, I would say that for a long time I thought that like women just had fives non-contact figured out, and it was just okay. Like there's finesse. They're so much smarter, everything. And then this past year, having the opportunity to ref at Lynn Lewis, which is an all women's tournament, and being able to see eight women's contact with all the teams from the East Coast. And I tell you what, I came from contact. I was an eighth contact in the trenches. I was a lineman, O lineman, D lineman. I'm telling you right now, those women would have bodied me up. They would have made me look silly on the line. Like they just know what they're doing. So I get like huge shout out to the eight women's contact teams from the East Coast. Like, you know, and I don't know all the team names and everything, but they were just, I mean, that pro division, oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to watch. They just really, they know what they're doing. And so, and also their coaches, I mean, in a way, you know, they got a playbook and things like that. But there's a point where the QB on one of those teams was like, "Nah, coach, I got it from here." And she just took over. And, you know, and so, like, you know, I appreciate hearing that stuff on the sideline too, for sure. So, but, all right. So, Zane, what is a format do you think that should be added for women?
For women? Well, so I was thinking about this at work tonight. In a format that I think that should be added, maybe not just specifically for women, but a format that I believe would be a very interesting would. So they have aired out, which is only a throwing format. What if they had only a running format. So where everyone could actually show the finesse, show the speed. So my idea of it was defense lines up at 7 yards, and then you have your line of scrimmage. So every play, there's going to be a gain, but it is up to the defense to limit the gain of every play. And I think it would be a great format for players to show off speed and finesse.
So you're talking about sevens rugby is what you're talking about right now. It's all running.
All running, technically, but instead of tackling in rugby, all you gotta do is pull a flag.
There you go. But, okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Tasha, what do you think? What's a format that's not offered to women that you think should be?
In my opinion, there's already a lot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'd probably only think of take out one. I wouldn't want to add anything else.
Okay, what do you want to get rid of?
I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but it's only because I play quarterback, but the playground format.
Okay.
I know that it's put in place because there are not a lot of female quarterbacks, and without female quarterbacks, then you can't put together all women's team. But like from a local standpoint here, they were trying to implement that into the league, and we had to shut that down because, like, to me, if we have, you know, a decent amount of quarterbacks, like, let us throw. Because then, I know when I was playing on a more organized structured team, I wasn't allowed to play defense. So where does that leave me playing in that format? It doesn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know I'm getting a lot of heat for that one, but it's only from a local standpoint. Nationally, I understand because I feel like there's a drought of women quarterbacks. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to last much longer. Recently being able to officiate a lot more youth tournaments. I mean, there's some girls there's a girl I think she plays out of Vegas. She's 12 years old and she's playing on the U17, division right now. And she balls out. I mean, she can sling that rock for sure, you know, so I don't know. I think pretty soon there's not going to be a drought, and that would be a format that I agree you could probably got rid of. But I want to see, and I don't know if they have this in Florida, but I wouldn't mind seeing fours in women's. What do you think, Tosh?
We've tried, but it's not really of much interest, unfortunately.
No, okay, all right.
I just don't know what it is with female participation in general. I feel like locally, like leagues just started to water down. Too many formats, too much expenses being, you know, fees being owed. So, like, I think, like, sometimes people can get complacent with what they already have, which I don't blame them because I'm not going to sit here and pay for another format either. But I think that's kind of why 4v4 hasn't really been heavily in the picture at all.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about co-ed, and this is bringing both, you know, men and women together. Zane, what is the biggest thing that you notice as far as officiating co-ed compared to any other format or division?
I get a lot more confused.
Yeah.
I get a lot more confused because you have your regular downs, and then you have to calculate in open and closed. Whenever I ref co-ed, I have one hand up for downs and I have one hand to the side for open or close. And then you have to watch every play and make sure you know who it goes to. And if you miss one play, oh, you're screwed. Cause a team is going to pick on you for not knowing. And then you have to get together and huddle up and figure out what happened. And then a lot of times, again in Tampa this year, when it is so cold, you know, a lot of players are wearing the ski masks, females, and you can't see their hair. So, like, I had a play and I was, like, closed. I said it was close three. The quarterback looked at me. He was like, "No, it's not." I was like, "You just threw it to him," and she took down her mask and she was like, "No, I'm a female." I'm like, "Yes, ma'am. I apologize. I could not tell with the mask on." But yeah. most definitely open and close.
What about you, Tosh?
I don't know. I'd probably say the same. I would probably agree with what he said. It's just a whole different ball game because there's too many factors in it. Like he said, with knowing what happens, like you literally have to break down the play piece by piece and person by person. Because if that team is a run and gun team and they pitch it four different times, you have to know who actually received the ball first. And depending on where you're officiating it, it will matter. Some it doesn't, but you know, then the quick math comes into play. Because you have to add nine, then you have to, or seven, or six, or whatever have you. And let's be honest, quick math is probably the least important thing to us when we're officiating a game. That's why you write it down. But yeah, just the multiple moving parts, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like I noticed something very different in co-ed. I think that. And maybe it's because we're starting to talk about it more, maybe because women are starting to get more attention in flag football. But I feel like men look at it as an opportunity to be able to beef themselves up, have a bigger ego, like, oh, I can ball out against these women, like, you know, I have noticed there are still some co-ed teams that they'll throw a ball into the dirt close to a female receiver just to get rid of that, you know, gender play, and then they'll just take over with their guys from there, just to score as many points as quick as possible. I feel like the good co-ed teams, it really comes down to how talented are your women, you know, or do you have a female quarterback? Because then you're open the entire time, you know? So, there is a lot of strategy. I feel like more strategy in co-ed. But yeah, I just noticed that as well, where I worry a little bit about, okay, like, are guys so much interested in trying to prove themselves in this format, is somebody going to get hurt, you know? So that's something I noticed.
Speaking of someone getting hurt, a lot of things that you do see in co-ed is guy to girl contact. It may be incidental contact, but a lot of times if a male is going for a female's flag because she has the ball and he tries to slow his momentum, but he can't fully get there, you will see a little bit harder contact. And that's just something that I always have a little bit harder time as an official throwing a flag on that, because yes, it is how do I put it? Yes, it is harder contact, but at the same time, it's a little bit more incidental. So that's also a little bit of a gray area in co-ed, is a guy on girl contact, whether it's, or and 90% of the time, it is incidental.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but you know, I have noticed though, in general, I think co-ed is just, that's a great way to get more people involved. And, you know, eight co-ed screen is a little strange to me. Tasha, you play that at all?
No.
It just, yeah, I don't know. That just seems like it's a full field, and I don't know, maybe that's a Texas thing or something. I can't wrap my head around it. If I got to officiate it, I will, but you know, it just seems like fives co-ed is so much smoother. You know, yeah, of course, the open and close doesn't reset on first down, but you're going three to mid, three to score. And so generally speaking, it goes a lot smoother in that. But yeah, eights co-ed just kind of boggles my mind. Out here in California, they do eights co-ed on the beach, which I'll tell you right now, I will never officiate a beach flag football game because I'm not doing all that at all. So you know, they can have fun with that for sure. Tasha, they got a beach flag in Florida.
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
What were you going to say, Zane?
I will say, I get tired enough running on grass. I could not do it in sand. That,
you know
that
what I mean?
Kill me.
Yeah. So Tasha, what are you? What's the next officiating gig you got going? What are you looking forward to coming up?
I honestly don't have anything coming up. I'll be in Miami. I'll be doing
there. You go.
Flag. Hey, yes,
I'm just going to officiate that. I was going to have something come up after that. I don't know if I can speak on that, so I probably just won't. But I'm done with basketball season, so now I'm going to be just heavily doing flag football when I can, traveling when I can. And then I also, on a side note, I graduated from school, so that'll free up even more time that I can allot to officiating flag football, and not have to worry about getting homework and stuff done, which is a pain. But yeah, I'll be out there officiating more, playing when I can, but more so developing as an official.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Yeah, Miami should be fun. That's I've never been to Miami before, so I'm excited for that. I don't know how people like talk about the different coasts or sections of Florida or whatever, but I've only been to Tampa and Orlando, so I guess Miami's next.
Yeah, Miami's a whole different breed.
I mean, in Orlando, we got a little taste of it where I think it was like the Forest Championship that I did, and the entire championship was in Spanish. And so I was having fun with that. Every time I threw a flag, somebody was calling me Pompey. cool. Well, Tasha, I appreciate you so much for coming on and just representing the, female officials. And as Pat and Jordan would say, the estrogen part of the sport, we already talked about what's coming up next for us. We appreciate everybody that's been following and sharing and listening and subscribing. We are all over on Instagram. Our link tree is. Shout out to our sponsor, TZ Customs. If you need to get custom cleats or you just want some nice new Air Force Ones painted real fancy like, hit up TZ Customs at TZ Customs. He did our logo for us, so just want to continue to show him love. Zane, what you got to wrap us up?
I'm about to say, yep. So we are on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and TikTok. I say all of it's clock running. All of it is in the link tree of the Instagram. Make sure to like, follow, and subscribe. I say that's it for today. I say until next time.
All right, y'all.